together. Invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Hello, I'm Pim Fox, and this is what I'm taking stock of on this Monday, October the 13th, 2014. Activist investor Bill Ackman's Pershing Square Holdings fell 12% in its trading debut in Amsterdam. Ackman told Bloomberg TV he has a new U.S. target in his sights.
The cash that we've raised, we intend to use for a new commitment. So we have a new investment we're going to announce probably in the next 45 to 60 days, and the capital will go for that new investment.
And another debut. Fiat Chrysler shares begin trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Chief Executive Officer Sergio Marchionne told our own Matt Miller why the automaker listed in the U.S.
We need to be here for a variety of reasons, to have access to the biggest capital market in the world, finance a lot of the plans that we laid out on May 6th, and it feels like being home, so I think we're in the right place.
And JCPenney has a new leader. Marvin Ellison is leaving Home Depot to help rebuild JCPenney, the department store chain that's been struggling to emerge from $3 billion in losses in the past 3.5 years. And the X-Files could come back to life with little help from you. Series star Gillian Anderson says the earthly concern of money is key to the sci-fi drama's revival.
That ultimately is what's keeping it from happening. I mean, other than Fox giving the go-ahead, which is not a small issue. But, the crowdfunding is a good idea.
We begin today with the actress Gillian Anderson, widely known as Special Agent Dana Scully in the hit TV and movie series X-Files. Now she has added another achievement to her career. She is the author of the debut science fiction novel A Vision of Fire, co-written with Jeff Roven. I recently sat down with Anderson to speak about her career, the possibility of a future X-Files movie, and her new book. Let's call this discussion The Fox Files. Tell us about the book.
I was introduced to Jeff through a mutual friend of ours who had an idea that we could potentially, with my science fiction background in the X-Files and Jeff being a science fiction author of many number one books, that we could get together and perhaps create something. And I have never been a science fiction reader. But certainly thought that maybe having been on the X-Files for as long as I was, that I might have some interest or contribution there. And so we got together in New York about a year and a half ago and hit it off and started brainstorming what kind of book we might write, were we to write a book together, discuss what our interests were. Both of us had a desire to make it a socially conscious series and to root it in current events and also to root it in mysticism and religion. And so that's kind of where we started.
It's the book. The book itself starts on the streets of New York mm-hmm. with an assassination attempt of an Indian diplomat. Mm-hmm. And then something happens to the diplomat's daughter. Just give us a hint.
Well, the diplomat's daughter who witnesses the attack starts exhibiting some strange behavior. And so a mutual friend of the ambassador's, his interpreter, invites his good friend, psychologist Caitlin O'Hara, who is the main character, to discreetly come and assess what might be going on. And through the course of the book, through her research and her friend Ben's research that he contributes with, they discover that there are other teenagers around the world who are exhibiting similar behavior, and eventually that it might have a link to the ancient past.
Speak a little bit about how the X-Files, which I read was something that you originally were not that keen on doing, you were drawn to it by the strong woman role in the X-Files, how that is also...
And being out of work and no money.
Exactly. affect your decision as well. How that, as almost like a career decision, but also a business decision, led to so many other things.
Well, I think at the time I didn't see that as being a business decision. It was I wasn't in the habit of auditioning for television. But you're right, because it was such an interesting and compelling female character like no other that I had seen or anybody else had really seen at that time on television, I decided to go along for the audition, which then led to me being cast and led to that character playing a large part, and science fiction playing a large part in my life.
It also led to movies of the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to know, is there going to be an X-Files 3? Do you know?
I do not know. There is discussion. Things are percolating, but...
would you like to do
a
third?
David, I, and Chris, our executive producer, creator, all are interested in coming together again in some format.
Now, what do you think about Netflix? Mm. What do you think about how that whole change of being able to get anything on demand without necessarily a big intermediary?
Well, it's what we want. It's what we expect. You know, the fall will come out in the UK as a weekly series, and people will wait every week for it. And there is something to be said for that. But it's interesting the degree of frustration that it elicits in people now that they know the alternative is to be able to wait and get it all now.
If they want it all now, does that mean that you think artists are going to be more responsive?
More responsive in what sense?
Well, if someone says, we want you to do Streetcar Named Desire, but we want you to do it in New York, and there becomes this swell of public opinion that you couldn't access 20 years ago.
Oh, I see. In terms of whether or not... you mean to sway my decision about whether to do something? That's interesting. I haven't thought about that either. I don't know how persuadable I am in that sense. I might be more gullible than I would
have. Because you have direct contact with your fan base. I mean, you have literally that connection
with
people.
But if only it were that simple. I mean, obviously, all the other elements would have to be in place. Maybe I could crowdfund. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of
that? We could crowdfund an X-Files movie. Yeah.
What if you if that were started, would you go along with it?
Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yes. I mean that ultimately is what's keeping it from happening. I mean, other than Fox giving the go ahead, which is not a small issue, but crowdfunding is a good idea. Also for Streetcar, because a lot of people do actually want it to come to New York, and an element of it is the financial aspect. It does actually it's a revolving stage in the round, and it's not a small deal to transport that and mount it up here. Ben Foster was in the play as well, and we'd want the cast to join. So that's okay. You heard it here. Let's start some crowdfunding for Streetcar in New York.
My thanks to Gillian Anderson, the actress and now author. Coming up on Taking Stock, meet Fabien Cousteau. He has seawater in his veins. Learn how he plans to keep the underwater economy alive.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm on it. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You're covered, Kevin.
Thanks, Melinda.
I have blah blah insurance, so person, come help.
Hey, Grandma. Then look who it is.
I see who it is.
Six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
You're not helping.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. There to help you anytime, anywhere, anyway. That's getting to a better state.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
Taking stock on Bloomberg, I'm Pim Fox. Now, space, the final frontier. But don't forget anything when you leave planet Earth, because getting to space takes time and it's expensive. But in the future, a 3D printer made by Michael Chen and his company Made in Space could be the answer. The printer is currently orbiting overhead. Let's take a listen.
It's really a huge milestone for humanity, because what it's going to do is it's going to manufacture the first tools and the first objects that were ever made off of the surface of the Earth. For the entire history of the human race, everything we've ever made has been on this planet. And we've been to space a little bit, we've just brought things there. That's really an inefficient way of doing things. It's expensive, it's risky, it's slow. By making tools and parts in space using our 3D printer, we're going to completely change the game of how space exploration is done.
Okay, Michael, we get the idea. Describe the actual 3D printer that is currently circling the Earth aboard the International Space Station.
So 3D printers, they take digital files and they literally print out physical three-dimensional objects in front of you. You can go to a lot of stores these days and just buy them yourself down here. So what we did is we actually designed a completely new 3D printer from scratch that is able to operate in microgravity, that's safe for astronauts to use and is reliable enough for space station use.
Now, Michael, NASA came to you to develop this 3D printer. Is this what they had in mind, making parts in space?
Yeah, so it was actually a really good partnership with NASA, because we actually founded the company before approaching NASA because we wanted to create a 3D printer for space. We actually wanted to create multiple 3D printers for space to truly make this paradigm shift of how we do space exploration away from rockets and into just printing things there when you need them. And we found a group at NASA, at NASA Marshall, who had the same desire. So we partnered with them and we designed and built the printer for them, and we'll be operating it shortly.
You've got to actually get the printer up into space. What about the vibration and all of the shock associated with being put on the top of a rocket?
Yeah, that was something that we really had to make a lot of innovations in order to succeed with. You know, again, 3D printers are generally very delicate machines. None of the 3D printers that you'll buy around here would survive that kind of beating. So we had to take a lot of care to create a 3D printer that was going to be able to survive launch and then still be able to print with the very, very precise control that is necessary to make space station parts.
Now, this 3D printer, it went up on a SpaceX Dragon mission. I believe it carried other cargo. And you were saying that it has yet to be unpacked. What's the status of the printer right now?
Yep, so the printer is on the space station, and what I love about that concept is, although it has not been unpacked yet, what that really means is that conceptually there's already been an important paradigm shift. The moment that our printer got to the space station, the moment it arrived, it actually became true that it was no longer the case that rockets were necessary to get things to space.
All right, Michael Chen of Made in Space. Now we go from exploring in space to exploring the ocean. Last I checked on Fabien Cousteau, he was beginning a 31-day sojourn under the waves off the coast of Florida in Aquarius, a scientific research lab. He joins me now above sea level to tell me about living with the fishes. Fabien, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Tell people, what was the whole purpose of Mission 31?
That's the human-ocean connection. Speaking of final frontier, the oceans are our final frontier. We've explored less than 5% to date. We could have used that 3D printer down below when our things were breaking as well.
So what did you accomplish spending 31 days in this research laboratory?
Well, the outreach was really the focus, but we did a lot of science and highlighted it. We did 3 years worth of science and data collection in just 31 days around climate change, overuse of natural resources, and of course, pollution issues that plague us today.
Were you able to test some new technologies to conduct these experiments?
Oh, we had so much kit. We had the PAM, the Pulse Amplitude Modulated Fluorometer. We had...
The Pulse...
Amplitude Modulated Fluorometer, which tests for the health of corals and other species with regard to their fluorescence, their glowing capacity. It gives you an idea of how healthy they are or not.
Well, you also talked about, I remember when you were down there, painting in the ocean. I mean, it's not necessarily, fine art, but maybe right. What was that all about?
Well, it was about bringing in the arts, the creativity, and a little bit of levity down underwater by bringing tribute to a man, of course, who we all know as my grandfather, who pioneered the underwater habitats.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned your grandfather, Jacques Cousteau.
Yes.
How would you characterize what's different about being in aquarium than the kind of ocean exploration that he did?
Well, back in those days, it was very rudimentary. The conch shell series of habitats were really about physiology, psychology. Can people live underwater for extended periods of time? And, of course, basic science of collecting of species. Now we're looking at much more poignant topics to today's world. We obviously know the basis for life underwater and trying to extend that into the future. Could life be possible underwater for extended stays, maybe 6 months or more at a time?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the future because I want to know what is next. What comes after Mission 31? You said at one point you did not want to leave. You were ready to stay another week or two.
It was really a strange out-of-body experience. The last week or so, I was so detached from the outside world, the topside world, you unsaturated people, that I really felt at home down below and started getting nervous about how much we had left to do and wanting to extend the stay much longer. The rest of the crew may not have felt the same way, but the idea really is to go beyond that, to teach people, to share all the knowledge that we have with an ocean learning center, which is the next step, which will be a virtual learning platform to reach out to schools around Florida and around the world, and also a documentary, which we'll be showing a teaser of at the Blue Ocean Film Festival in St. Petersburg, Florida, on November 4th.
Oh, all right. We're going to have to watch for that. Now, I want people to just get to know you a little bit more, and we put together a little segment called Get to Know, and it's where we get to know the guests in their detail. I want to start off by asking, what's your favorite book?
Well, I love Le Petit Prince. Saint-Exupéry, who apparently wrote it right here in New York City.
That's right. Yeah, The Little Prince.
Yes.
What about that book speaks to you even now?
I think between the creativity, its background, the fact that this little boy was a dreamer, was living on a planet the size of maybe a big basketball, the perspective and the scope really gives us a better sense and tangibility that maybe we should all have about this planet.
Now, when you were down below, did you think about any of your heroes? I mean, who's the hero that you think of? Let's put your grandfather aside for just a moment. Anybody come to mind?
Well, for me, the hero that comes to mind, of course, is Jules Verne, because he was a forward thinker. Yes, he was a fiction writer, and he probably had some of his own adventures, but he let us dream. He was a projectionist. He allowed us to come. His ideas came to fruition, the submarine, the balloon, and all those things, with the advent of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and, of course, Around the World in 80 Days, and many others that we all enjoy today.
Well, we look forward to your explorations in the future as well. I want to thank you for spending time with me. Fabien Cousteau of Mission 31. All right, coming up, I'm going to take stock of the stock market. The S&P 500 posted its worst three-day slide in 3 years. We offer you a playbook for how to handle the turmoil in the stock market. That's coming up.
Your monthly phone bill with Magic Jack. Simply connect your internet and landline phone to Magic Jack to start making crystal clear phone calls. The all-new Magic Jack Go includes 1 year of free digital phone service. Download the free Magic Jack app and your home calls ring on your smartphone. Click or visit Best Buy today.
I can reach Ally Bank 24/7, but there are no branches.
24/7.
It's just I'm a little reluctant to try new things.
What's wrong with trying new things?
You feel that in your muscles?
I see.
Try a new way to bank, where no branches equals great rates.
Hate the messy cleanup? Me too. Hi, Mark Hill here for the Miracle Grill Mat. It takes any grill surface and makes it completely non-stick, and it eliminates cleanup. Here's something you could never do at home. I'm going to do breakfast on my barbecue. I'm even going to add an egg. Look at that. And for a special treat, in just a second, a little bit of shredded cheese. Now, you want non-stick? That's non-stick, and I've still got my grill lines. Now, remember that special treat? Watch the egg. Right into the cheese, toast, eggs, and cheese on my Miracle Grill Mat, and nothing sticks. Are you kidding me? And I never have to clean my barbecue again. Grilled vegetables are amazing, but trying to do them on an open grate is almost impossible. They all just fall through. You lose half your meal. With the Miracle Grill Mat, I can grill my vegetables right beside my meat, and I never lose that great barbecue flavor. Flare-ups can ruin your meat, but with the Miracle Grill Mat, there's never any flare-ups. And burnt-on sausage and marinades make for a cleaning nightmare. But with the Miracle Grill Mat, cleanup is a snap. If you've ever tried to grill fish, you know it just flakes and falls apart. But with the Miracle Grill Mat, you get perfect fish every time. Now get your very own Miracle Grill Mat for the low, low price of only $19.95. Every grill mat comes with a 5-year guarantee and is reusable thousands of times. Call or click right now, and we'll give you a second mat free. And the shipping is free. But I'm not stopping there. Call or click right now and get the Miracle Baking Mat free. Cookies slide right out of the pan. Brownies never stick, and cakes fall right out. Yep, you get it all. Two Miracle Grill Mats, the Miracle Baking Mat, the 5-year guarantee, and free shipping. All for the low, low price of only $19.95. But you gotta call now.
Call 1-800-899-4886. That's 1-800-899-4886. Or go to buymiraclegrillmat.com.
Hey, what are you doing today?
I'm backing up the computer. Photos, work files, you name it.
Lovely. See you in a few hours. Did you get everything backed up?
Took care of it.
For just $59.99 a year, Carbonite backs up your irreplaceable files automatically, so you don't have to. Try it for free at Carbonite.com.
Time now for Paybook, the playbook for your pocketbook. A rout in global equities today, wiping out $1.5 trillion from shares. It began last week. Well, we want to know why. Investors betting on an international economic slowdown. So what are you going to do with your stocks, your bonds, your cash, your money? Let's ask two experts. Chuck Lieberman is the chief investment officer and managing partner at Advisors Capital Management, helping to oversee $1 billion. And Dan Wiener is the chief executive officer of Advisor Investments, helping to manage more than $3 billion in assets. Names are similar, but they are separate companies. Chuck Lieberman, let's begin with you. After this downturn in the stock market, what are you telling your clients, your investors?
Well, we think the underlying fundamentals are quite good with respect to the economy. So we think this is more of a technical event. It's driven by a couple of unusual events, decline in oil prices, which we think is well-founded.
About $85 a barrel right now.
Right, and potentially more. And also the weakness in Europe, which is scaring some investors that there might be some spillover into the U.S., which we don't think happens.
Dan Wiener, what about the concept of risk? Should people investigate whether they have the risk tolerance to deal with investing in the stock market begin with?
Anyone who is investing in stocks today has to look at their both their allocation, but also their investment plan. I mean, we haven't had a correction in this market for years now. As of today, we've got a correction in small stocks. We have a correction in mid-cap stocks. The big guys are still hovering at around 7% or so below their highs. If you're an investor in these kinds of stocks and that is what you were doing when they were hitting highs, then you should be putting more money into them now. And I would say if you're willing to be a little bit of a contrarian, you want to go to the places like Chuck was talking about, Europe, maybe Russia, get some very cheap assets, into your portfolio.
Chuck Lieberman, I want to pick up on something that Dan said having to do with allocations in the portfolio. Many people own bonds, fixed income. What are your tips for guiding them if they have those kinds of investments right now?
Well, oddly enough, bonds are the place they go for safety, and the safest bonds, in our judgment, are the riskiest because the interest rates that they pay are very low. On a U.S. Treasury, you're getting 2.25% roughly for 10 years. That's a long time.
So those safe investments may not actually be that safe.
They won't default, but they will go down dramatically in value when interest rates ultimately rise, and everyone expects rates at some point to rise.
Dan Wiener, go ahead. You have some tips,
I
know.
No, I was going to say, a 10-year bond is still going to give you your money back after 10 years, but you're only gaining, what, today, 2.3%
interest. Yeah, the 30 years at 3%.
Right. If inflation picks up even a little, you're getting nothing for your money.
What about the
And after taxes, you're getting less.
Right, you're going to have to pay tax on it. What about the investment program, the idea that you've got to stay with the discipline, particularly at moments like this?
Sure, because what happens is if you take too much risk in your portfolio, the time that you're going to be selling is exactly the time when you ought to be buying. So you really have to know what is your risk time. Tolerance. If you were comfortable 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and you're still comfortable today, good. Stick with that program. But we've been talking about the fact that we haven't had a correction forever. And I personally am looking forward to seeing a correction overall in the market because I think it brings valuations back down. Right now you're looking at maybe the big sort of old tech stocks as being good values. That's about it. Everything else may be a fair value or a little expensive.
I want to thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me. Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer, Managing Partner, Advisors Capital. Dan Wiener, Chief Executive of Advisor Investments. Thanks for taking stock.
From New York City, you're watching Bloomberg Television.
You are watching
Bloomberg Television.
Bloomberg Television.
Did you get that?
TA25 from the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, powering the Israeli economy. Find more information at www.ta25.co.il.
So I was a head chef at 24. I won best new restaurant in the country at 31. I've published cookbooks. I've been on TV. I've relied on people every step of the way. I still do. I have to. So staying connected to those people, that's what makes me feel accomplished. They're people I connect with, that I'd sit at a table with. These are the people that I ride with every day.
Does anybody know how I can get a small business loan fast?
I'm a chef.
I'm a stylist.
I sell tires for your car.
I'm a doc in private practice.
That's my name above that bar.
Rapid Advance.
Help my business grow.
Rapid Advance.
They didn't say no.
I got approval in a day.
Rapid Advance, I got my money right away.
With Rapid, there's no hassles.
No credit checks galore.
You just need to be in business for a year or more.
Call 877-GO-RAPID or visit rapidadvance.com. Get up to $300,000 in just days. 877-GO-RAPID.
Rapid Advance, they didn't say no. Rapid Advance, they help your business.
Or rapidadvance.com.
Your money's here.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Oh, whoa.
I know,
watch
right?
out. What's Maccabia?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost a Maccabia.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Maccabia, too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
If you trade stocks and options online, we'd like to have a word with you. Trade King. We're different from the five biggest online brokers. Trade King lets you trade wisely, just $4.95 per trade. Trade smoothly, with customer service ranked number one by Smart Money. Trade easily, with an award-winning website that's easy to use. Switch today and get $1,000 in free trade commissions. Looking for a new breed of broker? There's a name for people like you. Trade King. Switch today.
Welcome to Money Clip, where we tie together the best stories, interviews, and video in business news. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, here's a rundown today. In company, Bill Ackman's Pershing Square goes public. He says he wants to be more like Buffett. This is a Bloomberg exclusive. And Fiat Chrysler hitting the stock market, too, as CEO Sergio Marchionne goes global with cars and trucks. That's our motor segment. And we got the rise of the regulator. Frenchman Jean Tirole, he wins the Nobel Prize in Economics. This is in an age of tougher rules for global corporations. In politics, it's only 2 years away. Never too early to get a read from Iowa on 2016. And then finally, our innovation story, the pocket-sized drone meant to help people in emergencies. This thing's amazing. All right, first, we're going to take a look at our top stories today. JCPenney names a Home Depot executive Marvin Ellison as its next president and CEO in waiting. Ellison will officially join the retail chain next month and will take over the current CEO, Mike Ullman. That'll be next August. JCPenney is trying to turn around the business after losing billions over the past 3 years. And shares of CSX surging as the company rejects a takeover offer from Canadian Pacific Railway. The overture apparently came sometime in the past week, according to a person familiar with the matter. That is a great-looking train. We spoke with the CEO of Canadian Pacific in early October about the mergers in the rail industry.
Well, I don't think there's a choice. I think if you look down the line, there's not going to be more railroads built. We've got to start doing more with less.
So who merges with whom?
Well, I think you can look at any east-west combination. It's got to be end-to-end.
And that is what a merger between Canadian Pacific and CSX would have. Transcontinental Reach combining the two would create a company with a market value of about $62.5 billion. This is according to data compiled right here at Bloomberg. All right, moving on to Ford, hiring 850 workers to its new 150 Ford pickup factory in Deerport, Michigan. The new F-150 has an aluminum body. It's about 700 pounds lighter. This improves fuel economy. And with the new jobs, Ford has now hired more than 14,000 hourly workers just since 2011. This exceeds a pledge it made to the United Auto Workers. At Facebook, CEO Mark Zuckerberg took his mission of internet access for all to Indonesia this weekend. He met with the country's president-elect, Joko Widodo, who used social media, you may recall, extensively in his campaign.
There are a lot of different barriers to this. There are a lot of people in the world who don't have the infrastructure that they need to connect, and some people who do, it's not affordable. And there are also a lot of cultural and social reasons why a lot of people are not on the internet. And what we're trying to do through Facebook and internet.org is work with a lot of different other organizations to help break down all of those barriers.
And the CDC says the Texas healthcare worker infected with Ebola is now stable. The nurse contracted the virus when she was treating the Ebola patient who died last week, despite wearing protective gear.
We have to rethink the way we address Ebola infection control, because even a single infection is unacceptable.
The CDC says none of the 48 people who had contact with the first Ebola patient are sick. All right, we begin now with a story that everyone is talking about today. Stocks all over the world extending the declines of last week. Volatility, as measured by the Cboe's VIX index, has hit its highest level in 2 years. Questions abounding at the cocktail party, but it's for even the most seasoned strategists, very difficult to pin down what's happening.
I don't think the S&P 500 really goes down by 10% or more ever unless people are afraid of an earnings recession.
Bad news has been good news over the past few years, as we've seen, because bad news means that central banks will maintain ultra-easy monetary policy.
You know, we've got to remember, we're only down S&P 500 5%. We were down 7 in January, 4 in April, 4 in August. You know, this is the fourth one.
This is what the normal market is like. The true normal market has volatility that makes people get scared. And there's that cliche about the wall of worry is a cliche for a good reason. It's true. People keep valuations reasonable if they're worried. And that's where we are right now. That's why I think the bull market is not over.
When you're in it, it feels like the world's going to end. But we'll come out at some point because we're not going to have a recession.
Yeah, this could be, you know, the third or fourth, fifth inning or halfway through. And maybe it's the longest expansion ever. Maybe as long as 2020.
I think the market's done for the year. I think it's going to remain choppy. September 18th was the high. Maybe that was the high for the year. And then I think we're going to have to wait for a little while. And then next year, I think we climb higher.
Now, a big factor in all this, the Fed. As U.S. growth picks up, the world's most powerful central bank is getting ready to exit its unprecedented stimulus. And that's happening just as Europe, Japan, and other countries are boosting their support for slowing economies and sliding markets. So is the Fed actually hitting the brakes at the wrong time? Here's the Fed Vice Chairman, Stanley Fischer. This was at the IMF's annual meetings in Washington over the weekend.
The stronger U.S. economy should directly benefit our foreign trading partners by raising the demand for their exports, and perhaps also indirectly by boosting confidence globally. And if foreign growth is weaker than anticipated, the consequences for the U.S. economy could lead the Fed to remove accommodation more slowly than otherwise.
All right, so let's get an outside perspective now from Mohammed Al-Erian. He's the Alliance Chief Economic Advisor and a Bloomberg View columnist who's on In the Loop earlier this morning.
One is that the Fed and others are worried about the weaker global economic outlook, especially as the balance of risks is on the downside. And secondly, they also don't want equity markets to correct too quickly, and therefore they're coming out with reassuring comments. Having said that, there was another comment this weekend that was really interesting out of Washington, and that came from Mrs. Lagarde, the IMF Managing Director,
right. When
she said, be careful of the disconnect between too little economic risk-taking and too much financial risk-taking. And that's the problem. Unless the global economy picks up, then keeping asset prices up for the sake of having them higher is not going to work.
So do you think, by the way, Mohammed, that the IMF got it right when they gave out their projections a few weeks ago, that they are facing the reality here with the global economy? Did they get it right?
Yeah, I think they're right to revise down their growth prospects. With the exception of the UK and the US, it's really hard to see any dynamic growth around the world. And they've done that. They've also, by the way, raised the possibility of a recession in Europe. And that also has a geopolitical angle to it.
I wonder, Mohammed, with all due respect, the IMF's forecasts seem to be often wrong and revised down a lot. And, of course, they previously were telling European governments that they needed to rein things in, tighten their belts, preaching austerity. And now they're saying they need to go out and spend and invest and lead economic growth with investment rather than consumption. Are they behind the curve all the time or just recently?
So first of all, almost everybody on the official sector has been consistently revising their growth projection down. From the Fed to the IMF, people have been way too optimistic.
The public sector.
So I think that speaks to how long it's taken to incorporate this notion that we do have a secular and structural problem in the global economy.
So why does the public sector trail the private sector? I mean,
Well, the private sector has been too optimistic as well, right? I think if you look at growth projections, they've tended to err on the side of being too high rather than too low.
True.
And that's because we tend to think cyclically, whereas we are really living in a structural and secular economy.
Now, economists and strategists are used to ups and downs. Whew, there are a few, but there's one occurrence that hasn't happened in 20 years. We're talking about small caps coming completely unglued. Only 40% are in an uptrend compared to 70% of large caps. That's the biggest divergence we have seen since 1994. Don't count out the small guys, though. Watch for my insight in action today. I'm going to post it on Twitter, at AJ Insight. We're going to highlight a few of the smaller companies that you might want to own. All right, still ahead, right here on Money Clip. Bill Ackman takes one of his funds public and sets his sights on investing, Warren Buffett style. Our exclusive interview is next. And the newly merged Fiat Chrysler joins the New York Stock Exchange. What this means for the company and for investors next in Motors.
For me?
Really?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Who are you talking to?
It's Jake from State Farm. Sounds like a really good deal.
Jake from State Farm at 3 in the morning? Who is this?
It's Jake from State Farm.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Khakis.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so...
Another reason more people stay with State Farm. Get to a better state.
We're at a place in our lives where we need investment income. That's why we invest in tax-free municipal bonds.
We love the income they provide us, income that's federally tax-free. And at this point in our lives, tax-free income is exactly what we need.
Tax-free municipal bonds can serve as the cornerstone for a conservative portfolio. They offer income that's tax-free. Henning and Walsh is a leading expert in tax-free municipal bonds committed to finding you the best bonds to meet your investment goals. We'll even send you our informative bond guide absolutely free if you call right now. 1-800-895-7895. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, consider municipal bonds. They provide income that's federally tax-free. Take charge of your investments today. Call now to receive your free copy of our informative bond guide. It's free, so call now. 1-800-895-7895. That's 1-800-895-7895.
You take all your business calls yourself. Sort of makes it hard to look professional or get anything done. By helping to expertly manage your incoming calls, eVoice provides you with a better way to connect, regardless of whether you're a business of one or 100. We connect all incoming calls to eVoice instead of directly to you. So wherever you are, at home, the office, or on the road, you'll never miss a call. Get started with your 60-day free trial now at eVoice.com. Enter promo code TV60 and get the first 60 days free.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television, and we are streaming live everywhere. We're online, we're on your phone and tablet, we're on Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, today in company, a piece of the Bill Ackman empire could be yours. Pershing Square Holdings, this is the hedge fund managed by Mr. Ackman, began trading today in the Netherlands. Shares fell as much as 11% from the IPO price of $25, but Ackman says that's actually better than the stock going up, meaning the IPO would have been priced too low. Of course, that's easy for him to say. He got his money. But Mr. Ackman spoke with our Hans Nichols in an exclusive interview. And question number one was, why the Netherlands?
Actually, in the U.S., you cannot list an entity that pays an incentive fee that owns securities. So Pershing Square Holdings, we think of it like a company, like an investment holding company. But technically, it's a closed-end fund. And as a result, we have to be an offshore entity. So our choices were really Amsterdam and the London Stock Exchange. In London, there's something called the specialist funds market. We wanted to really be part of the major part of the exchange. I think we'll be the 25th largest company on the Euronext. That makes us a I think people will look at us as a real company. I think that will contribute to liquidity and better trading ultimately.
So liquidity is one of the main reasons for this?
Yes.
You've got $6 billion now. You're going to go on a shopping spree before Christmas, and you're going to spend it in one place only.
Well, actually, the capital that comes into Pershing Square Holdings gets repopulated among all of the funds we manage. So today we've got about $18 billion of capital, a little more than a third of it's in Pershing Square Holdings. The cash that we've raised, we intend to use for a new commitment. So we have a new investment we're going to announce probably in the next 45 to 60 days, and the capital will go for that new investment.
A U.S.-based company?
A U.S.-based company, yes.
Can you give me a hint on the sector?
No.
But when you talk about this, you're going to spend the bulk of the cash, though, in one place.
That's correct. That's correct.
You know, we just heard a nice, an interesting speech about 1608 crybaby shareholders. Do you think of yourself as a crybaby shareholder?
No. Maybe Carl Icahn might call me that in the old days. But no, the answer is I think the reference was to the fact that in those days, governance was not something top of mind for many corporations. I think it's become much more top of mind as a result of shareholder activists and shareholders being more engaged in the businesses that they own. So I think it's a very positive trend.
Well, I'm glad you brought up, you know, Icahn and folks like Daniel Loeb, the true activist investors. But in some ways, you're different. You stay in for the long haul. You see these trades to the ends of the earth.
We don't even call them trades.
Okay.
No, they're investments. I mean, Pershing Square Holdings, we think of it like an investment holding company. We are not Berkshire Hathaway, but I think that's not a bad business model. You know, if you think about a long duration investment strategy. We will only invest in the public markets, but we'll buy large stakes in public companies like we have in the past. This will enable us to have a capital base that matches the duration of our investments.
You think of yourself more like Warren Buffett instead of Carl Icahn?
I think that's a better choice. I mean, I'm friendly with Mr. Icahn, and he's done a fabulous job. But in terms of investment strategy, we're much more like Berkshire Hathaway than Icahn.
One of Ackman's ongoing targets is Allergan. Now, if you recall, he lined up with Valeant Pharmaceuticals, which has made several attempts at a hostile takeover. But Allergan has resisted. We asked him where the effort stands now.
We don't think that the Allergan board has managed this process well. You know, Valeant and we have made a very full offer for the company. That doesn't mean they have to sell at that price, but they've been unwilling to engage. You know, Valeant has said they're prepared to raise their offer. There have been some suggestions in the press that that offer increase could be a material increase, but they've asked for engagement with the company. You know, with due diligence, there might be an opportunity for them to pay even more. And we think, you know, there's also been talk in the press of activists and some other potential interest in the company. We think it's time for the company to explore alternatives. I mean, remember, this stock was $116 stock before the bid, before we announced the bid in April. Today it's $190 stock. It will not justify this value as an independent company. It can only justify this value, in our view, in the event the business is merged or sold to someone else. And we think that process should start soon.
Can we do Herbalife real quick?
Sure.
Where do we stand latest with Venezuela?
Actually, I think the most significant development for the quarter may be Venezuela. I mean, you see companies like Colgate writing off their entire operation. You know, the exchange rate in Venezuela is 103-1. And Herbalife has been marking their revenues and earnings from Venezuela at now 10-1. So things are 90% worse than their reported earnings. I think what people don't realize is that Venezuela, even though it's something like 4% of revenues, even as they reported, it's about, we think, about 20% of the operating income of the business. So if Venezuela is accounted for correctly, their earnings are going to decline dramatically. We think, we'll see what they do, but we think it'd be astonished if Pricewaterhouse allows them to continue to account for their revenue and earnings from Venezuela at a 10-1 exchange rate when the market is really 103-1. Even the official market today is 50-1. Supposedly they're paying their distributors based on a 50-1 royalty exchange rate. How can they be booking their revenues at 10-1?
Allergan has sued Ackman, claiming he and other defendants made public misstatements as well as violated insider trading laws. Pershing's IPO prospectus listed the suit among its risks. The filing calls the suit baseless. All right, coming up in motors, Chrysler Fiat rolls onto the New York Stock Exchange, and we're going to have more on the road ahead for the newly merged auto giant. And then in politics, Iowa helped propel President Obama to the White House back in 2008, but have voters there turned against him? We've got the latest poll results from Iowa coming up. And the mystery deepens. Where in the world is North Korean leader Kim Jong-un? He's been missing now for weeks. It's one of the most popular stories on our website. You can read it and others. Just go to Bloomberg.com/popular.
I was a head chef at 24. I won Best New Restaurant in the Country at 31. I've published cookbooks. I've been on TV. I've relied on people every step of the way. I still do. I have to. So staying connected to those people, that's what makes me feel accomplished. They're people I connect with, that I'd sit at a table with. These are the people that I ride with every day.
Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time?
Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 Awesome. Awesome.
I love logistics.
Blair, it can really affect your driving day and night. So what do? We flip down a visor, but it blocks our view. We can't see the cars coming at us, the traffic signals, or the kids in the street. It's dangerous. But now, here's a simple solution. It's the HD Vision Visor. With this bobby pin-like clip, you simply attach it to the visor that's already in your car. Anyone can do it.
So easy.
Exactly. We've now enhanced your view instead of blocking your vision. Dark is for day, and light, it's for night, to reduce the headlight glare that you get in the evenings. And we've all been there. We get in the car, the sun is right in our eyes, and we've forgotten our sunglasses. But this high-definition visor actually enhances your view, giving everything crisper and clearer visuals. And it's so discreet, you forget it's even there. But when you need it, you're going to be prepared. And if you wear prescription glasses, guess what? Those transition lenses, they don't work because you already have UV protection in your windshield. The HD visor is going to have you covered because dark is for day and light, it's for night. Here's the importance of the HD Vision Visor. This could be the sun or a headlight hitting you in the eyes when you're trying to drive down the road. But with the HD Vision Visor, that glare is diminished. You don't have it hitting you right in the face, whether it's nighttime in the headlights or even just this reflection off the snow in the winter, it's not going to be an issue.
Wow, so you don't need your sunglasses?
Or have you ever forgotten your sunglasses?
Yes.
With the HD Vision Visor, you don't even have to worry about that. You have shades built into the car.
What a difference.
Because dark is for day and light, it's for night.
What a simple solution.
Sure is. Today, we're offering an amazing deal. You get your HD Vision Visor for only $14.99. And listen to this. If you order two or more, your entire order ships for free. That's right, free. It's an amazing deal. It's a simple solution to a big problem, so give it a try. Order yours today.
To order your HD Vision Visor, call 1-800-874-2174. That's 1-800-874-2174. Or go online to hdvisionvisor.com. Order now.
Today in Motors, newly merged Fiat Chrysler makes its trading debut on the New York Stock Exchange. The restructured car maker has increased sales 4 years in a row under CEO Sergio Marchionne, and he now wants to grow another 60% from here. Our resident auto expert Matt Miller explains how he plans to do it.
They have a ton of brands. I mean, you just mentioned Jeep and Ferrari. They also have Fiat and Alfa Romeo, obviously Chrysler and Ram. I mean, the list goes on and on. And most of those brands are here in the U.S. So that's one of the main reasons that Sergio Marchionne, the CEO, wanted to move most of the listing over here. He hopes to have a 60-40 split because they're still going to trade in Milan, but he wants 60% of their shares to trade here in the NYSE. He has some incredibly lofty goals for the next 5 years. One of them is boosting sales by 60% to 7 million units a year in 2018. Another one is boosting revenue by almost 60%, I think 52%, to like $183 billion in 2018. So he's got a lot to do between now and then, and he wants to almost double margins, going from 4 to 7%. 4% is pretty sad in the auto industry. 7% would be a little bit better. But he's basically got to execute perfectly on a number of levels in order to achieve that by the time he wants to retire and just, I guess, collect Ferraris for a living. And the main thing really is Jeep. I mean, I'm not sure everyone realized when Fiat bought Chrysler how important Jeep was. Mm-hmm. It's grown over the last 5 years, if you look at the compound growth with the trailing 12 months, 26-27% a year. That's the fastest growing retail auto brand in the world of anyone else. They're going to achieve a million units in sales this year, and they want to double that by next year.
All right, so can Mr. Marchionne actually pull it off? Our Sam Grobart of Bloomberg Business Week provides a little context.
Chrysler, now in the hands of latest owner Fiat, is reappearing on the New York Stock Exchange. So how has Chrysler been doing? In 2013, Chrysler sold 1.8 million cars and trucks. That's way better than in 2009, but not nearly as good as in go-go 2005. Historically, Chrysler has been the smallest of the big three, and that has not changed. GM remains the biggest, Ford's still number two, and Chrysler's in third place. In 2013, Chrysler's top-selling division was Dodge. The best-selling Dodge was the Caravan minivan, which makes some sense, as Chrysler did invent the minivan in 1983. The worst-selling Dodge was the Durango. Chrysler's next best-selling division was Jeep, which Chrysler bought from a foundering AMC Motors in 1987. The best-selling Jeep last year was the Grand Cherokee. Ram, a relatively new division spun off from Dodge and specializing in trucks, takes third place in the Chrysler family. Ram is almost a one-model division, which explains why the vast majority of its sales were Ram pickups. Sadly, the worst-performing division for Chrysler was, well, Chrysler. Once again, its minivan, the Town and Country, dominated, which is both a good and bad thing for the company. Chrysler and Dodge minivans capture the largest market share in that category, but that category is shrinking.
All right, let's hear from the top. We spoke with Fiat Chrysler CEO Sergio Marchionne this afternoon at the New York Stock Exchange.
We need to be here for a variety of reasons, to have access to the biggest capital market in the world, finance a lot of the plans that we laid out on May 6th. And it feels like being home, so I think we're in the right place.
What about tapping capital markets? Is that something that you want to do soon?
We're going to do it. We're going to tap the debt markets for sure over time, in a reasonable time frame. I think the question about the equity piece of this depends on discussions that we need to have with the board about whether we want to de-risk our plan going forward to 2018. Technically, we don't need equity. We may issue some just as safety, to make sure that in the event that there were to be a slowdown in the industry for whatever reason, we'd be protected. But it's all up in the air. I think the prospects are good. I've seen our competitors issue some rather nefarious notes over the last little while on the prospects for the rest of 14 and the 15 year. Our indications are otherwise. We're going to wait till the end of the month when we release quarterly earnings. But we're not as negative as the other two guys in town.
All right, coming up, a 61-year-old French professor has won the Nobel Prize for Economics. We will hear from Monsieur Jean Triot. That'll be next. And drones keep evolving. Some can even fit in your pocket. We will meet the CEO of the company which just won the Air Force Micro Drone Contact. That is next.
So Ally Bank really has no hidden fees on savings accounts?
That's right.
It's just that I'm worried about, hidden things.
Okay, why's that?
No hidden fees from the bank where no branches equals great rates.
We're at a place in our lives where we need investment income. That's why we invest in tax-free municipal bonds.
We love the income they provide us, income that's federally tax-free. And at this point in our lives, tax-free income is exactly what we need.
Tax-free municipal bonds can serve as the cornerstone for a conservative portfolio. They offer income that's tax-free. Henning & Walsh is a leading expert in tax-free municipal bonds, committed to finding you the best bonds to meet your investment goals. We'll even send you our informative bond guide absolutely free if you call right now. 1-800-895-7895. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, consider municipal bonds. They provide income that's federally tax-free. Take charge of your investments today. Call now to receive your free copy of our informative bond guide. It's free, so call now. 1-800-895-7895. That's 1-800-895-7895.
Single Christians, good news. ChristianMingle.com has over 13 million registered members. Nearly 4 million new members in the past year alone. Every day, members send more than 200,000 messages. I sent one of those messages and met my beautiful wife. That's good news. Join today and find God's match for you. Sometimes we wait for God to make the next move when God is saying it's your time to act. The next move is yours. Joining is easy and free. Join ChristianMingle.com today.
Your
ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Trade King, an online stock and options broker trusted by over a half a million clients. $4.95 per stock trade. Streaming data. Free tools and research. Online education center. Mobile apps. Are you ready for a new breed of broker? Switch to Trade King. Get $1,000 in free trade commissions by going to tradeking.com/free1000 today. Tradeking.com.
Hey, what are you doing today?
I'm backing up the computer. Photos, work files, you name it.
Lovely. See you in a few hours. Did you get everything backed up?
Took care of it.
For just $59.99 a year, Carbonite back.